Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to get into a different type of technology conversation. We've tended to profile businesses, we've tended to profile technologies, we've spoken a lot about things like AI, but what do we mean when we're talking about, I guess, enterprise systems and the types of machines that are typically used by businesses? And that's conversation that I can safely say we've never had on this particular platform. But specifically, the conversation we're going to be having is the case for businesses to be making use of Mac computers in their operations. So to make sense of it for us, we are joined by Sudesh Pillay, who is the executive head of iStore Business. Sudesh, greetings to you.
Thanks, Mudiwa. It's a really a pleasure speaking to you. So thanks for the opportunity.
So Sudesh, maybe where we can begin as a point of departure for today's conversation before we, do a battle around, Mac versus Windows and all of that stuff. iStore Business, many of us, know what iStore is, official reseller of Apple products in South Africa. But when we're talking about iStore Business specifically, what is that? Is that a separate business? Is that the same business? Like, what are we talking about?
iStore Business is part of the iStore Group. It's a sister company to iStore, being the retail entity that a lot of your listeners might be familiar with. iStore Business is also an authorized Apple reseller, but specifically in the business space. So we deal directly with B2B customers. We work on integrating Apple technology into large and small business. And, what you said earlier in terms of Mac versus Windows, weirdly enough, that sort of a perception is there and isn't there at the same time. Because I think, things have shifted in the last 5 years or so in terms of where the two companies play. If you look at it from a Microsoft perspective, when the current CEO Satya Nadella took over Microsoft, one of his first speeches was that he was going to take Microsoft back to its roots and focus on software development. And what we've seen in the last few years is that Microsoft's strategy has been very aggressive in terms of migrating services to the cloud, moving licenses from a sort of a CapEx purchasing option to a perpetual subscription option, and really making it easier for people to adopt and use technology on multiple devices, with a single license. What that has resulted in, and not only Microsoft have done this, a lot of other service providers have done this as well. What that has resulted in is the ability to access services, software, applications via multiple platforms, via multiple devices, but having a very similar experience, simply because a lot of interaction is browser-based and a lot of interaction is actually controlled by the software vendor as opposed to the hardware vendor. Previously, you would buy an application off the shelf, be it Microsoft Office. You would put the CD into your laptop and install the application. And if your machine that you were using, or the laptop or desktop that you were using, was not resourced sufficiently, your experience with the software would not be great. It would be subpar. What going to cloud means is that it's a lot more seamless in terms of that kind of experience. When you look at it from an iStore Business perspective, we take that very simple scenario of having that kind of user experience or superior user experience into large business or into medium business or into any business for that matter. But iStore Business, from my perspective, is very much an enterprise player. We deal with incorporating Apple solutions and devices into enterprise in the South African market.
Okay. So let's talk about a couple of things. You've said a lot, and I think we need to just unpack it a bit. Starting off with, I guess, use case. You've spoken quite a bit about the fact that obviously there's a lot more applications that are now, you know, cloud-based, you know, which makes, I guess, the resource intensity of a machine, you know, less of a factor. You know, when I think about another of, you know, your possible competitors, Google, you know, and the rise of Chromebooks, it's literally been, you know, on the rise of that particular, what you call this dynamic, particularly for schools and, you know, the types of use cases where it's like, hey guys, we want everyone to have a machine, but we understand that you don't necessarily have the budget to buy what's, you know, what people would consider a quote unquote fully fledged, you know, powerful machine. Rather, let's just give you something that can interact with our various platforms, you know, that we have, you know, in the cloud through the Chrome browser. So the use case, you know, that rationale, you know, makes sense. But we can't have a conversation about, you know, Apple, Mac, and, you know, any of those products without, I guess, addressing the perceived elephant in the room, right? Which is, what you call this, which is the cost, right?
Yes.
Maybe you could talk to us just around what that looks like. I think the, what you call this, where I've seen a lot of application, you know, around the use of Mac computers tends to be in a lot of what people consider to be creative types of industries, right? I can say that, you know, ourselves, you know, as Business Day, we're part of Arena, and we have a lot of Mac applications for some of our sister businesses. I'm thinking about the TV stations that we run. I'm thinking about the departments that are running, you know, our graphics departments. A lot of them are using, you know, Mac computers. In the current environment, I guess we are having a dual conversation about, you know, what is a laptop, what is a machine that a person uses versus what is the application that they are using that machine with and for, right? The conversations you're having with businesses at the moment, right? In making the case for Mac computers, I can admit to you, right? I'm not shy to say that I'm talking to you through a Mac right now, right? We are having this conversation. I'm a Mac user, so I can understand the use, you know, perfectly. But as you're having conversations, particularly with very cost sensitive businesses, right? How are those engagements happening?
You said quite a bit there, so let me touch on a couple of just firstly with your point on Chromebooks. I think Chromebooks have a very specific use case, and if you look at their penetration has really been focused on education. And I think there is a massive use case in education, but there it would be almost from an Apple perspective, it would be Chromebook versus iPad, not necessarily Mac, right? So again, it's a very, very different use case. You very rarely see Chromebooks in any kind of business context, simply because they're not powerful to run from a business context. You're correct. I mean, the perception has always been that Mac is for the creative user. It is for, you know, it's for the hippie. It's for the person that needs to design something and needs to make a movie and needs to make an advert or something like that. And it's really been synonymous with the creative industry. And if you think about that for a second, the reason why, you know, in your context with your companies that are part of the group and why a lot of people around you are using Macs is simply because of the power in a Mac and the ability to manipulate rich media and the ability to manipulate large pieces of data and the ability to compute very sophisticated applications you know, to edit and post-produce and all of these different elements that come in the creative industry. What's happened over the last couple of years is that power has now shifted into the enterprise hands, right? So there is a lot of work that still needs to happen in terms of breaking that perception, because to be honest, that perception still exists in business in South Africa specifically around it's only for creative people. So you might walk into an enterprise and find that the Mac install base is confined to the marketing department and people that deal with marketing agencies and creative agencies or PR, et cetera, but that's changing. And a very easy way to see this is looking executives sitting in slow lounges at airports, looking at executives in meetings, in board meetings. You know, I would be, I don't know, it's probably an opinion, but I would think like almost 70 to 80% of executives sitting in lounge business right now are running Apple devices, and not just an iPhone, but probably a Mac, an iPhone, and an iPad, because they see the value in an ecosystem. I'm sure I don't have to convince you, but the ecosystem between moving things around from an iPhone to an iPad to a Mac is very seamless, and I can edit a document on iPad, or I can use the iPad as a secondary display to my Mac. There's so many different elements, you know, that come into play from a productivity perspective. I was on a flight last week and I saw someone, you know, on a flight to Cape Town with their Mac and their iPad next to them on the tray. And they were working with two screens in the airport. And, you know, if there's a definition of productivity, you know, that's it. And they weren't an executive. Maybe they were. I don't know. But I think the biggest driver that's forcing this change is there's a shift from what we termed in IT as end-user computing to end-user experience, okay? And you would be able to relate to this as an end-user yourself. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, let's go pre-COVID and post-COVID, almost like BC and AD, we'll go pre-COVID and post-COVID. But pre-COVID, end-user computing was really around IT made a decision on what device you use, how you use it, when you use it, and it was confined and locked down to that. You had no choice when joining a company in terms of what device you were going to get, what device you needed to work on, whether it was a secondhand sort of hand-me-down device from another user that worked there previously or the predecessor in the role, but it was, that's what it was. It was IT deciding on that. What's happened post-COVID? And as a result of COVID and as a result of businesses having to move to different working patterns, hybrid environments, working from anywhere, anytime, any place, has resulted in this drive for the power to be on end user experience. Why? Simply because we don't have the users in the confines of our building anymore. We have them all over the world. We have them all over the country. We have them in different cities. They're working in different time zones. So that end-user experience has to drive productivity, which has ultimately put the power back in the end-user's hands. And what you found is that with that comes, and this is me bringing the point back to performance and power, is with that productivity demand comes the requirement for a device that can cope with that kind of power. Simple example, the Mac gives you between 18 and 22 hours battery life. When we were going through load shedding last year and the year before, when we were going to stage 3 and stage 4 load shedding, when some people in the country had power for 6 to 8 hours per day, how were people functioning that only had 4 hours of battery life? You know, which is your typical PC. How do you actually function, right? So what we found in enterprise was that people just were offline. So people were not productive for 2/3 of the day, you know, of the business day. That was unacceptable. So during the COVID period, we saw this absolute increase in demand for Mac computers in the enterprise. And not just in terms of buying, but in terms of sort of appetite to have a conversation, okay? So then we get into the price topic, because now all of a sudden you're having a discussion with enterprise, you're having a discussion with business, and it becomes very complex because you have to work within budgets, you have to work within their refresh cycles in terms of their assets and how they actually function as a business. And very quickly you see that post-COVID, Mac is very price competitive to PC, and in some instances cheaper. right? So if you wanted to compare a 13-inch MacBook Air, for example, with a Dell Latitude 7340, which is a typical like-for-like comparison, you can Google it now if you want to. There's probably the Mac is $100 to $200 cheaper than the Dell. Now, that's a perception that needs to break, because 5 years ago, Macs were way more expensive than PC, definitely without a doubt. What's changed that? Well, Apple moved to its own chipset. Apple moved away from Intel to its own chipset in 2020. So from the Intel chip, all Macs moved to an M1 chip. iPhones moved to the A chip, and the iPad also moved to the M chip. So during the COVID periods, where a lot of PC vendors were under a supply chain strain and were under supply chain constraints, and they were all probably fighting over the same factory space for chip manufacturing in Taiwan or wherever they are, Apple was sort of, not that they weren't impacted from a supply chain perspective, they were impacted from a supply chain perspective, but not as drastically as PC companies. And what we've seen since then is that pricing has stayed fairly stable. The other problem with price in the market is that, and forgive the pun, but you have to compare apples with apples. generally, what you find is that people take a really powerful Mac, you know, because it's a 14-inch screen, they'll take a 14-inch MacBook Pro and compare it to a 14-inch, I don't know, let's just take any other brand. They compare it to a 14-inch, but the spec and the performance is completely different. The battery life is completely different. The camera resolution is completely different. You would probably know this, but we have an inside joke where we laugh, where we know who's using a PC and who's using a Mac, simply because the camera's on people using a Mac, right?
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
You look good. Right? Your experience is better. What we find in enterprise with our surveys that we do with customers, that employees that have a Mac feel more valued, right? They feel like, oh, they know they've made it. They're getting to use a, you know, like a good machine, a high-performing machine. They don't need to struggle. They don't need to walk into a coffee shop when they have to have a meeting and look for a PowerPoint, a PowerPoint.
No, I get you from that point of view. And one of the things that I'm then curious about, given everything that you've said, right, is where we are now. What is the actual growth for you guys as iStore business? Or whatever you can share in terms of sales and adoption, just to give people an understanding of, you know, like, where do we stand, you know, in the landscape. Once again, when it comes to perceptions, the perception is that the majority of enterprises, if you walk into a business or you hear that someone is doing any type of quote unquote productivity, whatever that means, then they're going to be having, a Windows-based machine of some sort. If we're going to go deeper into brands, chances are that is going to be a Lenovo. Chances are it's going to be a Lenovo, machine. Not too sure why that is, but, you know, it tends to be a Lenovo machine. I know that those guys have done a lot, they've done a lot, to corner that particular market and, you know, to offer value. So, yeah, whatever you can share to give us context of what growth and adoption looks like right now.
I can't share specific figures. What I can tell you is it's a great market to be in. The market opportunity is there. From an iStore business perspective, our growth has been healthy now for the last 5 years. It's been great, and we're forever expanding. Our business is growing, our staff complement is growing, our locations are growing around the country. And you've seen the similar with iStore, you know, from a retail perspective. You know, even from an iStore retail perspective, our SME base transacts through that store. You know, 80% of your SMEs actually transact similar to a consumer, either via the retail store or our e-commerce platforms, but that's where they prefer to transact because of just the nature of the transaction. But Mac in business or Apple in business is definitely on the rise, and it stems from a few things. Again, we touched on user experience. Security and compliance is also a main thing. Macs are generally more secure. The research shows that it's more secure. The Apple Silicon, from a performance perspective, means more productivity. But more than that, what's happening, and again, you mentioned the brands Lenovo, whether it's Lenovo, Dell, HP. I think the message we advocate is not that it's Mac versus Dell or Lenovo or HP or Mac versus PC, for example. Our intention is not to go into enterprise and replace every single PC with a Mac. That's not the way we go about doing business. What our intention is to say is, well, you probably have a lot more users that would benefit from having a Mac than having a PC, number one. Number two, there's an argument for users being more productive on a Mac than a PC. But similarly, there's probably a counter argument to a user being more productive on a Windows machine than a Mac, simply because of the familiarity, simply because of the comfort and their personal sort of preference, right? The reality is that what enterprises need to do and what they are currently doing is offering users the choice, okay? There's amazing research out there. Cisco, SAP, Salesforce, Microsoft themselves allow users a choice. And guess what? Apple is one of those choices. So you could work for Microsoft and you could choose to work on a Mac. I'd advise you to go and have some meetings with Microsoft people and see what phones they use. they're using an iPhone. So again, this old adage of, the Surface was launched a couple of days ago and I saw, Satya was giving this very, very cool presentation about they're going to bring the Mac versus Windows argument back into the market, which is great to see because it's great energy in the market, right? But it's not about that, really. It's not about that. I think there's a place for all of these devices and there's a place for preference and there's a place for user experience.
Now, thanks for that, Sudesh. I'm just going to, try and press on this just one more time, right? Because I do understand that there are a lot of, sensitivities and probably we may be entering into the realm of trade secrets, and I wouldn't want you to reveal, any of that. But we are having a conversation about the growth, of Mac use in enterprise. And I feel like, it would be good to at least get a sense of what adoption is looking like, what type of businesses are making use of Mac. Obviously, you can't tell us what the sales numbers and all of that are, but literally just to give people some context about, what the South African market is looking like, because there may be decision makers that are listening and they're still waiting to hear, is it really worth it? Are the others in my club? because people tend to make decisions in that way. Yeah.
I can tell you with the biggest or the fastest growing sectors from a business perspective are, it's definitely financial services and the healthcare sectors in South Africa. Closely followed by your technology, retail, and creative sectors. So whilst Mac is synonymous with the creative segment or the creative industry, it's actually not our biggest vertical as a business. Healthcare and finance by far are the top verticals. And, that's sort of expectable simply because of the size of those industries, right? And the amount of users that work within those industries. Let me try and give you some figures. Let's look at banking, for example, right? You've got the big banks and you've got some new fintechs that are, appearing. And when I say big banks, I actually do count Capitec as one of the big banks. Previously we only referred to the big four. I don't refer to the big four anymore because I think Capitec are definitely one of the players at the moment. And you've got new people entering and new sort of fintech banks entering space. But from a traditional banking perspective, those banks have anywhere between 28,000 to 50,000 endpoints on their network, so laptop users, okay? Traditionally, Apple were nowhere from a share of those laptops, right? What we've seen is that Apple is probably now between the 15% penetration. You know, so you take an example of a bank that has 50,000 users, you probably have around 5,000 Macs within that bank. Okay, all indications are right now that that will double within the next year to two financial years, because again, you know, what we spoke about earlier, this post-COVID workplace, you know, banks are selling off their buildings. Teams are working remotely. They're working from home. They're working from different countries. Companies are employing the resources of foreign workers. Okay. So that entire sort of ecosystem about how devices are deployed and how they are managed and what devices they are completely changing. Okay. So the conversation, you know, where we started about this entire shift from end-user computing to end-user experience is actually happening faster in financial services than any other sector, simply because of the scale of their business.
With that in mind, just as a quick follow-up, right? When we see, at least in the enterprise space, in South Africa, if you see someone with an iPhone or an Apple product, the assumption is that a person has gone to the iStore, but iStore is not necessarily the only retailer, you know, selling Apple products. So in the enterprise space, for a company to get like a bulk order of, let's say, Apple products into their business, are they necessarily coming through iStore business, or are you guys also competing, you know, in that space?
There's massive competition in the space. There's lots of other authorized resellers within the business in the arena. Some of them, and I'm not going to mention them today, but some of them are brands you would know, big companies that you would know, IT integrators that you would know, but definitely we aren't the only authorized resellers within the space.
All right. Now, one of the
there's lots of option for business. That's not the problem. The problem is that and competition is great. I think the issue that we need to overcome from an enterprise or business perspective is changing the narrative in enterprise that actually you can run a Mac. Actually, Microsoft products work perfectly on a Mac. Actually, that, you know, the Mac is going to integrate into all of your environments from a security perspective, from an operability perspective, from an integration perspective. You know, your teams are going to be able to collaborate. We're an example of this. Right now I'm using a Mac and I run Outlook. I run the Microsoft Office suite. We use Teams as a collaborative platform within our business. So, we're testament to the fact that it can work.
And as possibly an extension to that, right? Because I think we've spoken quite a bit about use cases in your typical enterprises. We've spoken about, you know, which industries are now adopting a lot more Mac use. We've spoken about, you've given some ballparks, around what, usage and penetration is looking like. Another space that I, you know, find particularly interesting is that we've been having a lot of infrastructure discussions on this platform, telecoms infrastructure, digital infrastructure, because if you're going to be running digital businesses and engaging more in digital, you need to have the back end, systems in place to make all of that happen. And, you know, a big piece of that is the networking piece. And also the data center pieces, you know, as well. Are you guys involved in that particular market? Because I know that for certain, applications, Macs are popular from a server point of view. Very interesting entering certain rooms where you'll have like, I don't know, like 100 Mac minis or something that are all helping to power a particular system or something.
Definitely, we still see that in a lot of spaces, especially in enterprises that want to cache content. They still opt for the Mac Mini and basically use it as a server. But again, you know, cloud adoption is on the increase. If you look at the availability for hyperscale cloud platforms in South Africa right now, you've got Microsoft, you've got AWS, you've got Google. As an enterprise, you can have a combination of all three. You could have one. You could have a combination of public cloud providers and private cloud providers. So, I mean, if you look at a business like Teraco, Teraco data centers are on the back of giving enterprises a choice of, renting real estate and having access to every provider that's available, right? Whereas previously, if you were in an MTN data center or a Vodacom data center or a Telkom data center, you could only adopt services from that service provider, right? Now, with a partner like Teraco, you can adopt services from any kind of service provider, right? But more than that, the cloud, the hyperscale providers have entered South Africa directly, you know, so they've set up their own data centers in South Africa, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google. So this idea that having servers, on premise and in your office is going to disappear fully in the next couple of years. You will be consuming technology and you will be consuming resources out of data center. That's as simple as it is. Cloud is here to stay, and penetration and adoption is only going to increase in the next couple of years. Companies are selling off their buildings. Large enterprises are selling off their buildings. Large enterprises are decommissioning their private data centers and going into hyperscale data centers. It gives them the ability to focus on their core business and leave data center management and international connectivity and all of the complexity that comes with networking to those service providers, you know, and they get to hold them to an SLA. We don't play within that space directly, but again, we have to have the ability to integrate and talk to networking engineers and people that design networks on the best ways to integrate.
And then let's maybe where we can end off, you know, wrapping everything together. We've spoken quite a bit about that. And I think the point around the growing use of cloud, you know, is a point that we've spoken about quite a bit. And I guess there's also a hardware discussion around, the cloud providers themselves and what people are actually making use of, you know, at a place like a Teraco or any other data center, right? There's that. But the other one is the fact that through this discussion, one of the things that you've emphasized is the fact that, there are a lot of perceptions that need to be either broken or reinforced. One of the perceptions that has been there for some time is the fact that, Macs are perceived to be safer. From an enterprise point of view, that tends to be a big concern, security of systems, security for users, security of systems and, just at least hoping and making sure that, users on an enterprise network are safe or at least as you minimize their exposure to attack as much as possible. What can you tell us, maybe as we end off, around the security discussion, because I'm sure that's, a big part of, the types of discussions you're having.
Broad context to security, right? And we all know that cybersecurity in the last, 5 years has just gone through the roof. And the reality is that the hackers or the criminals are evolving faster than any IT vendor out there, okay? Mac is built on a Unix-based operating system, and it's built on a Unix-based platform, which is very different to Microsoft, which is built on an MS-DOS platform. And the reality is a Unix-based platform is more secure and more stable than the MS-DOS platform, right? That's just the reality. That combined with a company that develops the hardware, the software, and now the chipset, okay, means that one company is developing the components and how those components interact and talk to each other, and how essentially how they secure that computer environment or that computing environment, which again makes it more secure, right? The reality is, and the stats are out there in the market, that Macs are almost 50% less likely to get hit by malware, right? Apple have a very strong stance on data privacy. If you use an Apple machine and you use the Safari browser, it's a simple example. Safari will actually tell you how many websites have tried to track you and how many websites have tried to steal your information and what they've blocked. And it'll actually list those websites and it will tell you, this website tried to actually take your information. This website actually tried to log your IP address. Okay. Apple have actually gotten in trouble with the US government because they refused to hand over data, not because they have the data, because they've said they don't collect the data, right? They don't collect the user data. And I think, you know, from a security standpoint, your biggest security flaw right now is actually people, right? Yes, we want to say that it's the system and it's the IT and it's the component, but from the research and from the data that's out there, you'll find that the biggest security flaw is people. It's you and I. We click the link. We go onto the website. We don't see that it's a fraudulent website. We don't see that someone has masked the banking website. You know, we download apps that are not secure, and we open documents that might be, you know, not be secure. So from an IT perspective, IT companies do the best to secure all of those different sort of elements. Similar to how you would secure your home with an electric fence, a gate, an alarm system, I don't know, motion detectors, lights, all of those things. There are multiple sort of barriers you put in place to secure your home. Similarly, with IT, you put in multiple barriers and you stack your security to sort of block all of these different channels, right, or exposure points. But the reality is that the person using the device is at risk because that person using the device is the one that might make the wrong decision. And the Mac OS operating system, the iPad OS operating system and iOS operating system are really great at securing the user, at protecting the user, at making sure that the user is protected. So it's doing the hard work for you. It's not allowing you to do certain things. It's allowing you to protect your passwords. It will even tell you if your passwords have been found on leaked websites. You know, it was like a year or two ago, we had the TransUnion leak and we had the Home Affairs leak and we had all of these things. Apple have actually come back to users to say, listen, we found your password that's linked to these things on somewhere on a database somewhere. We would suggest that you change your password. Apple will tell you that you shouldn't use the same password in different applications. Change it. So Apple are really big on user privacy, on user security. And again, the ecosystem is just more secure because it's developed by one company and you're not dependent on different manufacturers or different vendors making those components work together. So the reality is it is more secure. I don't think there's anything more I can say about that. Anyone who's used an Apple machine will understand it. And that's why we tell people, you know, before you knock it, try it. We have a cool program within iStore Business called Buy and Try. So you buy the machine, you know, come and attend the course with us on how we show you how to use the machine free of charge. We show you how to install Office. We show you how to, you know, migrate your data. We show you how to run your machine. And if 60 days, if you are not happy with your machine, hand it back for a full refund. Give it back for a full refund. We'll give your money back. That's how convinced we are that it's going to work. That's how convinced we are. You know, I mean, it's a 30,000 Rand machine. It's a 25,000 Rand machine, whatever machine you want. If it's a Mac, we offer a buy and try campaign. So buy, test it out, try it. If it doesn't work, give it back.
All right. So that's where we end off, you know, on that note. If you want to buy it and try it, you can buy it and try it. That's where we end off. It has been a great discussion. You know, just talking about the rise of Mac use in enterprises and some of the perceptions that are being, you know, challenged right now. You know, PCs had always been used, as always been seen, you know, as the dominant player in the enterprise space. But Sudesh just giving us some context to say that, you know, there's a lot of work being done to break some of those perceptions. And, you know, in the data that, you know, that they have, they're actually seeing that, at least in the South African context, you have industries such as financial services and healthcare that, you know, are, you know, making more use of, you know, more use of Mac products, where back in the day, the use was negligible, you know, on a pie chart, if we're going to think of that context, you know, you're now looking at maybe a tenth, you know, up to a fifth, you know, of an enterprise, you know, in any of those sectors making use of Mac products. And at the same time, those products sort of having jumped out of just the creative parts of the business, no longer just for the marketing or the graphics guys, but now a lot more on the executive suite. And I guess that speaks to the ecosystem, you know, aspect, because he did talk about the fact that if you go to an airport lounge, chances are you're going to see an executive with an iPhone, with an iPad, as well as a MacBook or a Mac product of some sort, you know, speaking to the ecosystem, you know, impact that Apple has been able to capitalize on. And then I think the last one, you know, which is always, which is probably where the biggest work has to be around perception, is around cost. You know, you was actually giving us some stats around the fact that for, you know, equivalent products, Macs have actually come out, you know, cheaper in certain aspects, right? So, you know, that's a perception, that's an area, you know, where they're fighting perceptions. And then obviously talking about security, and then the big theme throughout the discussion is the fact that there has been this big movement towards cloud-based applications, and all of that is helping to level out the playing field, you know, and what's actually needed on systems. So it has been a great discussion from that point of view. The security aspect, you know, is something that, you know, continues to be one of those things, you know, where Apple has that perceived advantage. And at least for now, the data does show that, you know, for the most part, your cyber actors, you know, your threat actors, as they call them, tend to develop for, you know, the systems that have the widest use. So at least for now, you know, those systems that are tend to be Windows based. That's why you have a lot more attacks from that point of view, and also the code base that Sudesh was telling us about. You know, to say that one, you know, does have some greater security at the core, and also I guess the stance of a company like Apple when it comes to you know, where they stand on security. I do have one or two rants about that security, unrelated to this discussion altogether. But you know, they have taken quite a strong stance, and they do have a lot of pop-ups across their various systems to say, are you sure that you want this company or this provider to track you, you know, across the internet? And I guess those are some of the things that businesses, you know, will be looking at and looking out for when they're making their purchase decisions. So that's been it. It has been a great one. We were in discussion with Sudesh Pillay. He is the head of executive head of iStore Business. Sudesh, thank you so much for being with us today.
Lewa, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.